Yeah. That reminds me why I don't sing. Pardon me, this morning allergies have been getting me for the better part of a week. I was pretty much over it, and then I woke up this morning and they decided they were going to make a comeback. This morning I want us to, we're going to be in the book of Colossians. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to preach, and we were looking in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and we talked about, and the title of my sermon was Walk This Way, and we looked at those verses, and we looked at what our walk is. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church there at Colossae, trying to correct some things. There had been kind of the Gnostics and just kind of all this other Eastern religion and mysticism was kind of thrown all together along with the people of Israel, and they just kind of threw it all together and said, let's throw it against the wall and see what we like and what sticks. And so Paul is correcting a lot of that understanding of, hey, it's not just about knowledge, it's not just about works, it's not matter is bad and spirit is good. And he does a lot of correcting, and he defined for them. He tells them, hey, you should walk and keep on walking, all right? But then he defines what that walk looks like. And you might have been here, you might not, but we looked at that walk being defined as and characterized by being a growing walk, a one that is rooted or grounded, one that is genuine, and one that is grateful. And we looked at those different things, but that word there is a present tense word. It means walk. It means that initial step that we take, and that's at that point of initial salvation, that point in which we profess faith, and so we're justified and then regenerated. And but then he says it's a present tense, which means that we keep on walking, which finds us in the middle there in this process of sanctification. And so chapter 2 goes on, and the Apostle Paul corrects those theological ideas, and chapter 3 gets there, and so just like many of Paul's writings, he moves from, hey, let's correct the theology, let's make sure we're all thinking about and looking and understand things right, and then usually in the latter part of his letters, he says, okay, practically now, here's how we go about doing this with the right theology, with the right thinking, with everything back how it should be, here's how we do. So this morning, what I want us to do is and the title of my message is this, it's keep walking. And I want us to take a look practically, and I've got a PowerPoint there, if we can put it up, just the title slide there. But keep walking. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. It says through verse 17, we're not going to break down every part of all those verses because we won't be here. We'll be here all day to do that. And then I know some of you want to go watch the Cowboys lose at 3:25 this afternoon. Shots fired. Really, I have two main points, and I want us to be very practical this morning at the latter part of what just kind of the Lord has impressed, and I'll apologize to our students. This is something we've talked about in recent days, but it's just something God has very much impressed and kind of hung me up in the book of Colossians lately, and so when I was asked to preach this morning, the Spirit immediately said, this is what you're going to preach. I said, yes, sir, and so this is what I've been working on since that point in time, but I want us to look at keep walking, like what it is, all right, and that we're entitled to do, because we said, hey, we took that initial step, that initial point in faith in which we were justified and regenerated, and so now we find ourselves in the middle, and really the first four verses in Colossians chapter 3 talk about that entire process, and really, to me, when we look at it and we look at the text, what it is, it's the reasoning behind what he's going to go and say after this, and so the first slide, if you want to throw it up there, my first point, and I've got a two-point sermon this morning, so we'll be out in plenty of time, is the reason we walk. And so he lays out the reason. He's like, here is why you keep on walking. Here is the reason. So look at it with me. The first four verses says, therefore, it refers back to everything he's been talking about in the previous chapter, correcting those things. This is how you walk. This is what it looks like. He deals with issues of food and judgment and all these different things that he corrects the theology on. He says, therefore, because we've got our right mindset, if, or the better translation there, because this is a first-class conditional, means since, that Paul is expecting this truth to be true. He's writing to the church. Says, therefore, if or since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him. And in these four verses right here, the Apostle Paul says this right here, these truths that are right here are the reason why we keep walking. It's the reason why when we come to that point in where we have that Ephesians experience where we, by grace through faith, make that proclamation. It's where we have that Romans 10:9, and we confess with our mouth, and we have that experience. It's the reason why we're still here and we're not automatically taken to heaven, all right? Because there's something in this in-between. In fact, the entire salvation, like when we use the word salvation, and I've talked about this a lot lately when I've preached, when we hear the word salvation in our culture, the immediate thing that we think of is what? Salvation means somebody what? Got saved. All right? And so we like to put a bookend of like, hey, they were lost and they got saved. That's salvation. But nowhere in Scripture is salvation bookend as, hey, somebody just came to faith. All right? Salvation, that is the very first beginning step. All right? That is that the fact that they are justified by what Jesus Christ did in his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And they've put their faith, and so they're justified by that. And then through the Spirit, they are regenerated. They are brought back to life. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. All right? But then in the middle point after that is the process in salvation called sanctification. And it's the process by which we are conformed or made into the image of Christ. All right? And that is where we are at in between. And the last step in salvation is glorification. That is when we become like Christ. When we see him, we shall be like him. Right? It's when we go and Jesus returns and God decides to wrap and we get that new glorified body and everything is done and we're headed on into eternity and we receive that glorified body, then salvation is complete. We understand? And so we're in the middle sanctification. We're in the walk, if you will. And we're here. And so for some of us, that's been a matter of weeks. For some of us, that's been years. For some of us, we haven't even begun, and we're just kind of beginning to take in some of this truth. And you haven't begun your walk with the Lord yet. And my prayer is that this morning, before you leave this place, that you would take that initial step of faith, that then you would be justified and regenerated, and then you would begin into this process of sanctification with the rest of us. And so this morning when I look at this, he says, therefore, since you have been raised up, the reason that you walk, he says, hey, because you put your faith and trust in God, and this is a picture of that entire process in those four verses. This is a picture of what we celebrate when we come to baptism, all right? And it's everything. We identify, we talk about it every time we baptize, right? We're identifying with the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Buried with him in death, raised to walk in newness of life. Right? That's the word of God. That's not the word of a Baptist preacher or anybody. That's the word of God. We have been raised. It says, therefore, you have been raised up with Christ. And so he says, then there's something to do. There, you should keep on walking. A lot of us, what happens is we get to that point of salvation and we get saved and we think, well, I'm not going to hell, so that's it. It's taken care of. All right? And when we don't ever come alongside and disciple people, they will be little baby Christians who never grow up into maturity. They'll never progress in this spiritual walk. They'll never be conformed to the image of Christ. And so this morning, the reason that we walk is because we're commanded to. It's what we were saved to do. So continue. Keep seeking, all right? Again, that's another present tense verse. It's keep seeking. Seek and keep on seeking. The things that are above, not are the things that are below. The reason that we walk and we keep walking is because we are changed. We have identified. We have a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. All right? And that is another. It's becoming new. It's a process. It's a lifelong process. process. That's why Philippians tells us what? To continue to work out your salvation. It's a process. And so the reason we walk is this spiritual journey that we're going through is because we've identified, we've been changed, and we haven't been taken home yet. And so Scripture lays out, hey, this is what is expected of you. The Word of God tells us, it says, this is the will of God, your, anybody know the verse? This is what? Your, somebody said it. Sanctification. This is the Word of God says, this is the will of God for you after you come to faith, before you go into eternity, your sanctification, that you would keep on walking. So the reason we walk is because we've been changed. The reason we can keep walking is because we are still here. All right? And so that's just kind of that first point, not where I really want to hang out. I want us to get to the next deal. And really, in a little bit, some of you are going to freak out when we do this, but I want us to have some audience participation. There you go. So we know who the teacher's pets are now. All right? Was that you, Dana? No, I'm sure it wasn't Tim. Don't try and blame him. All right? But the reason we walk is because we have been changed. We have identified. We have been raised up. And really, that is the way that is all phrased is that is a completed action, but we haven't come to the realization of it because of verse 4 of that. It says what? Look at verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him. That's talking about our glorification. When he comes and then we see him, he's revealed, we lay eyes on him, we then will then at that point experience glorification. All right? We keep on walking. Why? Because we've identified with that. We've come to that point. But then the second thing I want us to look at in a very practical sense this morning is this, is the way we walk. In verse 5 and on through Colossians is where Paul kind of makes the corner and begins to go very practically about what this walk looks like. And so he does it in a way in which his audience understands. He has some lists here of things to put on and things to put off. And he deals with these things in a context in which a lot of these other religions would have just had their list of things. And so he's dealing with his audience in a manner in which they're used to. But it's not just about keeping a list of things. And so I want us to look at it this morning, the way we walk, verses 5 through 17. I'm not going to read every single piece of that, but I'm going to read parts of it as we go through. But he really does, as I've mentioned before, he really does boil it down to two things under the way we walk. It's put on and put off. And we see this throughout. You can look at and you'll see words that reference. You'll actually see the phrase put on or see things that resemble that. You can see it in verse 1, keep seeking the things that are above. You see it in verse 2, set your mind on things above. You see it in verse 10. Look at it there. It says, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You see it in verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You also see it in verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And so he tells us how, the way we walk is we put on the things of God, but it also means that we put off, we take off. And so that's what he says, keep singing in the things. This is verse 1, seated. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. And then look at verse 5. He says, therefore, because you know the reason you should walk and why you should walk, you've identified with Christ through faith, your life has been changed, you're a new creation, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead, or reckon, or the very literalist translation of that is literally means for you to put them to death, and that they should have no part in your life. And so the way we walk practically is this, is we put on the things that God tells us that we should have, and we put off the things of the flesh. In fact, in the top of my Bible, I have it written here, seek the heavenly and slay the earthly. That's what we have to do. That is that process, very practical sanctification of what sanctification is. That's a big word. It sounds intimidating, but really what it means is this, It's being made into the image of Christ. And how do we do that? We put on the things that God says should be a part of our life, and we take off, lay aside, put to death the things that should not be there. And he goes on and he names these things. And so I just want to read, look at verse 5, and he's going to tell us some of the things that we need to put off. And so my prayer, as I've been praying this week and as I'm praying even now, is that God would, through his Spirit, put his finger on something in your life. Because here's the reality. There's not a single person in this place who says, hey, I don't got any of that stuff I need to take off. All right? If you say that, then the issue's pride. And that now we know what that is you need to take off. But every single one of us, my prayer is that God would put his finger through his Spirit on something specific in your life to say, hey, here's what needs to go. But look at it, and again, this is not an exhaustive list. We don't just get to look through this list. If we don't see our deal on it, wipe our brow, say, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. But he just deals with it. He says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. He's talking about sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. In them you also once walked. Said, you walked that way. That's not how we walk anymore. Past tense. You once walked that way when you were living in them. But now also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. All right? I would dare say, you know, that's not an exhaustive list, but I dare say there would be anybody in this place that would escape that list without one thing. Am I being fair this morning? And he says we are to put them aside. We are to take them off. We are to consider them to be dead. In fact, literally, to put them to death. And so to be really practical this morning, it sounds good. Hey, consider them to be dead. That's nice, Ricky. But practically, how do we do that? Right? So just by show of hands, how many people in here would say, hey, just in the midst of this, of what I've heard already, God has already put his finger on something in my life that I struggle with, that I need to put off? Amen. So practically, now, by a show of hands, how many of you would say, hey, that's something that I deal with on a regular basis? You haven't had victory over. Okay. So we all know we're in good company, or actually, we know we're all in bad company now. But we're in the right company, right? Confess your sins one to another that you might be healed, right? We're in good company with one another because we realize we're all in this walk. And God has brought us together as a church so that we might walk together with him as we go through this. And so we have brothers and sisters in Christ that can help spur us on, as the Word of God says, to love and good works. We have brothers and sisters in Christ, as the Word of God says, so as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, who can be those things, can be people in our lives who help us continue walking in the way in which we must walk, that can help us say, hey, here's what we need to put off. So practically, how do we do that? As I look through the Word of God, as I look at the text, practically, the way that I see this happens, there's no way that it happens apart from the Word of God. Right? Like, how is it that we're going to put something to death unless we have a weapon to put it to death with? All right? And so the reality is this, is we're told what the weapon is. You go to Ephesians chapter 6, we're told what the weapon is in the armor of God, right? What is the only weapon that is mentioned in the armor of God? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. It is the weapon that we carry that we might be able to put those things to death in our life. And so for us to go through this process of sanctification, for us to keep on walking, it is impossible to do apart from the Word of God. It's not about, hey, I think I'll do this, and hey, I'll do this. It's no, what does the Word of God say? And so here's the deal, is we put those things to death, and then we put on the things of God. And I want us to see those before we go back, and I want us to kind of do a real practical application, a real practical interaction in which we can name some of those swords that we need to claim to put things to death. All right? But he tells them, look, here's what you need to put on. And it kind of starts there in verse 10. It says, having put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge. Again, that's talking about sanctification. That's what's happened. We're being renewed to a true knowledge of what we were intended to be, how we were created to be, back to that image of Christ, back to that perfection in which man was created. We're being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, right? We have become a corrupted by sin version of what we were created to be, and we are in the process of being renewed to the true image of what we should look like, which is Jesus, all right? And it won't happen until, like we said, verse 4, until ultimately we see him and we are like him. But he says, look, here's what we do. We're being renewed. We're putting on the new self, a renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek or Jew. He goes on, and then in verse 12, he goes on and gets real practical and says, here's some things that you need to put on. He says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, of kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, long-suffering, forgiving each other, forgiveness. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you should also. What else should we do? We should let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Put on thankfulness. Let the word of God, and I believe 16 is kind of this key verse for how we put those things to death and put on what we know we should put on is this. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, right? We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the revelation of who he is. The word of God is being revealed with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Thankfulness in your hearts to God, whatever you do in word or deed. So service, we need to put on service. Do all in the name of Jesus, not for ourselves, not about us, not about boasting, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So we know we've heard a list of things that we should put off. We've heard a list of things that we should put on. We know the only way that we can put off or put to death those things that we need to take off is through the word of God. Right? Yeah, I mean, this is not some crazy idea that Ricky Fuchs came up with. This is the example. This is the standard that's set in Scripture, right? We need go no farther than Jesus when he goes to the wilderness to be tempted. Every single temptation he was faced with, the things that he was tempted to succumb to, that sin in which he was tempted to say, hey, go this way, how did he counteract it? God's word, right? Said, hey, you're starving. Turn these rocks into loaves. What did he say? Man does not live by bread alone, right? Hey, right here. Throw yourself off. Misquote Psalm 91. Hey, he's going to give the angels. He's got charge over you. You're not going to strike your foot. What's Jesus say? Don't put the Lord your God to the test, right? Hey, brings him up, looks over. Hey, all this can be yours, right? Every single time that temptation, that thing which welled up to that was in opposition to what God desired, it was put to death with the word of God. All right? And so a few weeks ago, we were talking about this very thing with our students on Wednesday night. And so I asked somebody in that room to be very just open, to be vulnerable in the room and say, hey, tell me something that you just struggle with, that you haven't had victory over, that you just don't like, you know you shouldn't have in your life. And there was a young man in that room who said, I'll do it. Anger. I am angry. I said, okay. So we know what it is we need to put off, but practically how are we going to do that? I said, how do you do about that? Well, and there's a lot of coping techniques we can deal with. All right, and some of those things can be good, but the Word of God needs to be the number one place that we go. Right? So I said, hey, how about this? I want to challenge you to memorize 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Talks about love. Let us love one another. Well, if I'm having love for one another, it's going to tough for me to be angry at somebody, right? And so here's what I got to do, is practically I have to find that which, the sin which so easily entangles me, that thing that you raised your hand with and said, God put his thumb on in my life through his spirit and said, hey, here's what you're struggling with, here's what you haven't had victory in. He says, you need to find the verse that kills that in your life, and you need to commit it to memory. And so here's the deal. There's no timetable that's given in this passage when it says, consider the members of your earthly body to be dead. In fact, it is a continuing, ongoing thing. For some people, it might be a weekly occurrence. Like, hey, I don't deal with this all the time, but it seems to come up on a monthly. For some people, hey, this is a daily thing. For some people, they say, hey, here's what I deal with minute to minute. And so some of these things we have to put to death moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month. But what I've discovered in my walk with the Lord is the more faithful I am to do that, it seems to show up a little less often. Not that I have totally gone past it, because I'm still here, I'm still in this flesh. The link has been broken between me and that sinful nature, but I'm still wrapped in this flesh. Until he's revealed and then I'm revealed in him, I'm not going to have complete victory over it, but I can have more victory over it than I do right now. But so here's what I want us to do this morning, is I want us to, if you're willing to, be a little bit vulnerable this morning and say, practically, how do we do this? And so maybe somebody in here would say, hey, I will say, hey, here is something for me that I just struggle with. And then we as a group are going to say, hey, you know what? Here's a verse that you can use to kill that. You need to commit it to memory. You need to get up every single day and recite it. You need to write it, stick it on your mirror so when you see it, you need to put it in your car so when you get in there to drive to work, if it's anger or it's wrath and that guy cuts you off, it's right there and you see it and you help. Like, it sounds silly, but literally that's what we have to do to put these things to death. So this morning, would there be somebody this morning who'd say, hey, I'll be honest, and so there's not going to be judgment in this place, because if there is, I believe God will deal with this. We should be able to be open together as a body of believers just to say, hey, here's what I'm fighting with, here's what's going on, here's something, what does somebody know from the Word of God that can help me have victory in this in my life? Anybody? Do what? Gluttony, right? The Word of God talks about that, right? Our body is what? Temple of God. Like, so what do? We find that verse, we memorize it. And so when we have that feeling, we keep it before us. And the Word of God tells us, here's the great thing. God doesn't say, just leave us alone. He says, one of the roles of the Spirit is to what? To bring to remembrance those things which you have heard and you have read. Right? And so when we have equipped that in our mind, then the Spirit, and we have the weapon to put that to death. So you find that verse. Whatever it is. And we can look. And I'll get with you. Here's the amazing thing. You know, a lot of you at the back of your Bibles, when you flip back through there, there'll be a section in there. There's one in mine. It says, when you feel blah, 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 blah. And it gives you a verse. You go back of your Bible. You look there. Some of you probably have that, right? Some of you probably use that. But here's the deal. We don't need to just say, well, I think, oh, I'm going to deal with this and let me flip to my Bible. We need to commit it to heart. That's a great reference for us, but if we don't have it within us, so, hey, we can find that. Somebody else. I saw another hand. Somebody else. Obedience. We find the verse. What works? Anybody got a verse for Pam? Obedience. Amen. Amen. Somebody else? Worry. Anybody got a verse to kill that one? Do what? Amen. Amen. We hear these verses, we've got to commit them to memory or we're not equipped. Somebody else. We can have that judgmental spirit sometimes about people because we know their past, right? We need to remember who we were. Hey, you know, some of us, when we have that, we need to memorize like 2 Corinthians 5:17 that reminds us that we're a new creation. If God's done something there, they're a new creation, old things have passed away. And we need to remember that. Somebody else? Patience. We struggle with not having patience. Wait on the Lord, right? Well, lots of times when we don't have patience, it's a trust issue, isn't it, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. He will direct you, right? We have to equip ourselves. Somebody else had a hand up. Dealing with failure. And so here's what happens in our lives is circumstances in God's will don't go the way that we think they should go, and then we then think ourselves to be the failure, right? We forget the fact of what the Word of God says, what? That God's working all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Again, so when those things happen in your life, we realize, you know what? This might look like failure, but I know and I believe the Word of God says God's working it together for my good as a child of God. And we have to have that verse to be able to kill that when it wells up inside of us. Anybody else? Judging others. We talked about that, right? Judge lest you be judged. I mean, that should be enough right there, right? Right? With the same judgment that you give out, you will be judged. Like, we need to, like, equip ourselves and keep that at the forefront of our minds when we have that and say, ooh, well, I don't want to face that kind of judgment, man. Right? Anybody else? Criticism, right? Goes with judgment and those same things. A lot of verses can go. And so we could deal with this. Like, we could deal and we could look at, and I've made up just a list of different things. Anger, right? Psalm 37:8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. And we could go on and on. Maybe you're here and you deal with lust. I mean, that was listed in our text. Immorality, impurity, right? 2 Timothy 2:22, right? That's a great verse. If you deal with lust, that should be one that should be in our arsenal. Now, flee the youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the name of the Lord, right? What are other things that we deal with? We deal with doubt. We deal with fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, that's a very one that we use in Jacob's life and have for years, right? Up in the middle of night, I'm scared. What's 2 Timothy 1:7 say, Jacob? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? Power, love, and sound mind. And so when that happens, we have equipped him. He'll come to our room. We'll say, Jacob, what does 2 Timothy 1:7 say? He'll say it. It's like, all right, go back to bed, pray, and repeat that verse until you fall asleep. And you know what? He goes back to sleep. That's been put to death. And again, it still happens from time to time. We haven't had complete victory, but he doesn't get up the way he used to. He knows that truth. Yes. Do what? Road rage would fall under patience and anger and hate and I'm convinced we probably need to have a whole bunch of sticky notes in our cars for us when we drive. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. My wife's nodding her head. We struggle with love, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so we could probably sit here all day and do this. But that very practically this morning is the way we should walk. Is equipped with the Word of God to put to death those things. And here's what I've discovered is when we put those things to death and we've laid them aside, guess what? We now have the room to put on the things of God. And the only way we put on those things which we should are by walking with the Lord, walking in sanctification, walking in righteousness. When you look at the things that we should put on, most of those things you found listed in the fruit of the Spirit, right? And those are things that manifest themselves in our lives as we walk in obedience to the Lord. And so I don't know where this finds you this morning, and I hope this is in. That's been my plan, is for this to be very practical for us this morning about the fact that we need to keep on walking. Here's why we walk. Here's how we walk. The way in which we walk. And so if you have something, and maybe you didn't want to raise your hand, and you just say, maybe you'd find me or somebody you respect in this church, your Sunday school teacher, one of our deacons, somebody that's here, and you say, hey, Ricky, here's what I'm dealing with. Can you help me find something to put this to death? I'm not going to say, well, I've got to go to lunch. I'll say, absolutely. Let's sit down and find something before you walk out the door of this building today. So as we come to this time, we have to respond to the Word of God. And the response for those that are here who, as our beginning verse said, have been raised up with Christ, we've experienced that, is this, is we've already acknowledged every single one of us in here have things in our lives that we need to put off. And so the response is this, is are we going to do what it takes for that to happen in our lives? And here's the reality, too. Like, I asked for one thing. There's probably more than one thing, right? And we continue to pray. Psalm 139 is a good place to go. It's a good prayer that ends that chapter. Search me, O God, and know me. He already knows this. But it's a prayer of, God, reveal to me anything in me that's deceitful, that's wicked, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, show me. What is it? Spirit, put your thumb on that thing in my life that I need to put off. And so for us today that know the Lord, that's what needs to happen. And that can happen where you're at. You might need to come to this altar this morning. But for anybody here today who does not, has never come to that point where you are a child of God, I don't want you to get confused and think, hey, I have to correct these wrong actions in my life and then Jesus will love me. Then I will get to go to heaven. We've not said that this morning. The reality is this has taken place afterwards, because what we do is we try and work our way to heaven. I'll be good enough. I'll be better. God will be pleased if I am better. No, God is pleased by His Son, period. And the reason He's pleased with Ricky Fuchs is because Ricky Fuchs, at one point, by grace through faith, confessed Jesus Christ to be my personal Lord and Savior. I turned from my sin. I turned from Him, and He saved me. He forgave me. He justified me. He brought me back to life. And now I'm in the walk. But you don't get in the walk just by doing the right thing. It comes through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Son, John 14:6. Some people here today need Jesus so that they can get in on the walk. And then the final thing here this morning, maybe you've been visiting with us for a little while, maybe this is your first time, but God has impressed upon you that this is a church that He wants you to be a part of. And so simply the call would be for you to come and join the walk with us. Like, how would you join this church? It's really simple. You walk up here when we begin to sing and say, Ricky, I believe this is where God wants me, my family, to be a part, to be a member of this church so that I can walk with brothers and sisters in Christ here towards eternity, that we can serve and do those things together. Whatever it is that the Spirit is prompting you to do, my prayer is simply this. I say it every time I preach, is that you would simply be obedient to what the Spirit is prompting you to do at this time. So as we stand, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have our time of invitation. You stand with us as I pray.